GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar. This is the George Hale Rick Tyler Show. We're blessed to have Steve Blackwell of Lanham Blackwell and Baber back in our studio for legal briefs. And both you and your colleague Brett Baber were keeping an eye on what happened on Interstate 95, mile marker 174, Carmel. This week with that big multi-car pileup. Thankfully, no fatalities, although there were people at the scene who were pretty convinced that someone might have lost their life. You sent us a note and said now's a good time to review your responsibilities and your rights if you were ever involved, God forbid, in such a crash, Steve.
Yeah, this is the second one at about the same location.
Yeah. Last one was bigger.
Yeah.
And it was November.
It was a year ago, a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
About 100 cars.
Yeah.
Different weather conditions at the time. Strange. Yep.
But I think they both involved talk about the low sun in that spot being kind of a blinding sun. Dazzling sun.
After that story broke, Rick broke it, and we're seeing it on social media, and we started talking about it. On the way home, I drove, and it was tough driving that day. The sun and the snow. Mm-hmm. I said to myself, I have to talk to myself. There's nobody else around. What would I do? I mean, there were 10 cars. There were 7 cars, and there were 10 cars, and then they all piled up. How do you assess responsibility in something like that?
Very difficult in a chain reaction crash. You have to sort through it, and there may be several crashes along the way that you have to analyze separately from the other crashes. But let's try to do it. But here we're talking about bright sun. We're on the interstate. Speed limit, 70 miles an hour there?
Probably,
You've got traffic. It's early morning. People trying to get to work. Two lanes the same way. Comes up, let's say the front driver comes up over the hill and the sun, he or she says, blinds them, car A. The sun blinds them. So a couple of different scenarios. What should she have done? She should have been aware by that point of what was in front of her. That driver should pump their brakes, put their visor down, put their sunglasses on. If they don't have time to do that, then you look down at the fog line, and you can gently ease to a slower pace and try to get over if you really feel like you're blinded, or just slow down and keep your car under control. Or the worst case scenario is you panic and you slam on your brakes.
Yeah, it's not good.
Right? Mm-hmm. So in the first instance, if the person's got their blinker on, they're slowing down, they're pumping their brakes, they've got their hand out the window trying to let the people behind them know that there's a problem, and car B slams into the rear of that car. Well, the car in front, probably not going to be liable for causing a chain reaction crash. Whereas in the second scenario, he slams on his brakes, the car comes up behind him, stops suddenly, the car behind him is going 70 miles an hour, can't stop. You have your first crash. Car C comes along behind that car, also crashes. Now, is car number one or car A completely liable for that crash? Or was car B traveling too close to be able to safely stop in case of an emergency? Or is car C at fault for slamming into car B and pushing car B into car A? You see how it gets?
Let me jump in just for a second, because current events would lead us to believe. Remember the case, and we almost talked about it on the air. Cumberland County jail worker, 16-hour shift on his way home, fell asleep at the wheel, hit a car, drove a car into another vehicle. When that car hit the second vehicle, caused the death of a 9-year-old girl. This is in Maine. And now grand jury indicted that Cumberland County guard for manslaughter. Okay? He pleaded not guilty this week.
it would seem to me that car C could be responsible for what car B does to car A.
That's just exactly what we were talking about.
Just reinforce that right there, reinforce that right there.
Now, we have codified or statutes that lay out the rules of the road, but they're pretty general. But and also, for example, tailgating.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Following too close. The rule of the road is pretty general. Drivers shall not follow more closely than is reasonable and prudent, having due regard for the speed of the vehicles, the traffic, and the condition of the way. And I'll get back to your example here in a second. Yeah. But those rules of the road are not proof of negligence. They are evidence of negligence if the case goes to trial or goes to court. Mm-hmm. So with respect to your example, I would have to agree with the decision to prosecute because the jail guard has an obligation, a duty, if you will, to other drivers on the road to be fit to drive. Mm-hmm. And if he's so tired that he falls asleep at the wheel, mm-hmm. Is he negligent? Yes, I would say he is. And what overhangs all of this with the rules of the road involved is the issue of negligence. We owe a duty to others to behave in a safe and prudent manner as reasonable people. If we don't do that, we breach that duty. And if we cause an accident that causes damage, we have causation, we have damages, we have liability.
Okay. We have a duty to operate our internal combustion motor vehicles safely and prudently.
And consistent with the rules of the road.
Okay. I guess one could argue that, well, road conditions are not always safe. In the November car pileup on Interstate 95 in Carmel, where there was a fatality, it was all ice, you could say that the road conditions were not safe. In this, someone's going to make an argument that because I was driving west to east into the sun and the sun blinded me, does that make the road unsafe? That's going to be a tough argument to make, I think.
Yeah. It's interesting, and in my experience over the years, blinding sun is not a good defense. Mm. Just for the reasons I said, there's ways to react. Whether you're negligent or not, whether you behaved in a safe and prudent manner than any reasonable person would behave, when you're blinded by the sun, again, a lot of people tend to panic and lose their composure and slam on the brakes or yank the car to the right or to the left. Again, if you stay calm, you know what's in front of you, you pump your brakes, you slow down, there's a difference. Mm-hmm. But negligence is the key. And as you have these chain reaction accidents that go crashes, we call them, that go back a ways, typically what you're looking at in those cases is speed. People are traveling so fast these days. The speed limit.
Slow down.
The speed limit is 70 miles an hour. But
they won't slow down. No.
No. You. I'm sure you guys would agree. You travel on the interstate. 70 to some people means 90. And at 90, at 70 miles an hour, and 90 miles an hour, you have to leave enough room between your vehicle and the vehicles in front of you. And how can you react? You assume everybody's going to see you. If you're passing on the left or passing on the right, which you shouldn't be, that's mm-hmm. another rule of the road. Sometimes people don't see you. And at that speed.
All right. From a practical standpoint, I was thinking about that after the crash. You got, I don't know how many cars, 30, 40 cars bent up. Some total bent up. Insurance companies now going to get involved.
Oh, for sure.
Insurance lawyers, state police, and they did the best they could to. In fact, there was a police car involved in it. State right. police car got involved in it. How do you handle cases like this? I mean, some of them, you're hurt, you're in the hospital, you want to blame somebody. Right. I don't know. Where do we go from here? Where do these people go?
Well, there's a couple of things you can do. The first thing you do, obviously, is you need to report it to the police. Obviously, that happens in a big crash like this. The police are all over the place,
but they
have so much to do that people get carted off to in an ambulance before they get there. The police report is the first place we usually first piece of information we get. There's usually witnesses named on that. If you're upright and can talk to the police, you know, you want to get as much information as you can from them, the names of anybody else involved, which you're supposed to exchange. In addition to that, or if you get in and see an attorney early, there are things that can be done. If the vehicle is preserved, these days we have electronic data recorders or EDRs.
I was going to say the secret word and win a prize. I'm waiting for you to say the black box.
The black box. But it's only helpful if you have the vehicle.
Yep.
And oftentimes in a serious crash, the vehicles, people don't realize that they need to download that data, and it takes some equipment and knowledge to be able to do that.
Most of the time that wreck's hauled right off to Silver's and it's being sold off before you know it.
Right. So contacting someone to help you is important, and I'm not just, you know, advertising for cases here. It's just important these days to get that data off the recorder, because that can tell us speed. It can tell us when you applied the brakes, everything that you did in most cases. Sometimes the recorders don't catch things. Depends on the nature of the crash. So that information is important. And get to your insurance company as soon as possible and report the crash.
Must be a horror show for the lawyers when you stop and think about it. You've got a car stopped. Then he gets rear-ended into another car, who pushed to another car, that pushed to another car. Which car? Where do you go?
Yes, it's like a fishing knot, right?
Yeah.
And like I said, you know, you may have the crash up front and another vehicle comes along and becomes part of that. They, for whatever reason, are the people up front responsible, or is this new vehicle that's coming in from the back responsible? Well, you have to look at the facts. You have to decide whose negligence there. Are they going too fast? Did they have a clear view for a long distance but didn't slow down? Were they distracted? You have to investigate. I learned a long time ago from early in my career that a good accident lawyer has to be able to investigate. You have to get out there, look at the police reports, interview witnesses, get the data that you need, get photographs of the vehicles, get statements if you need to get statements from witnesses. That legwork is very important. And as you go back, there may be several crashes that have to be that really aren't related to the crash up front.
Absolutely.
Some people might think, is it worth the fight? Is it worth the battle? I suppose if there's injury and I got some medical bills that I know they're going to be coming, maybe it is. Is it worth the fight, or is it just worth it just to throw up your hands, realize you've got an insurance deductible, pay it, and just get on with life?
Yeah, let's talk about coverages a little bit. You have liability coverage, which covers you for any negligence, and then you have medical payments coverage, which will pay you up to a certain amount for any injuries you have. You have to decide whether to take a case forward if your injuries are minor. Mm-hmm. And you know, I would say your medical payments coverage will take care of it, or even less than that, then you probably don't want to pursue it. But if your injuries are very serious, then it's important to get to a lawyer early and get to a lawyer that does this type of work, because there's a lot of things that we can't cover in this show that need to be done in terms of gathering information, taking photographs, hiring an expert early mm-hmm. to analyze the damages and the damage to the vehicles mm-hmm. and everything else, skid marks, measuring skid marks. Those things have to be done quickly before you lose the evidence.
Well, thankfully, we don't have too many of them, but they happen across the country, and we've had a couple in that section of road. Probably we'll have another one, but they don't straighten it out. They can't move. As somebody said, you can't pick up the road and move it.
Yeah. I mean, if I had any advice in general, I would just say we need to slow down and go the speed limit. Stay back a safe distance. You know, tailgating to me is another huge problem. I see it every day. I feel it every day. It happens to me. I don't know about you guys, but it happens to me.
Steve Blackwell, the Pollyanna.
He's the driver's ed instructor that we need to hear more often on the radio, along with his colleague, Brett Baber. Steve Blackwell, thank you so much for the insight.
Yeah, you're welcome.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.